Today's daf, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, in Brochas is daf Mem Gimel, and we're holding it to two dots. Hey, Sebu, is where we're holding, five lines down from the top. So the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that if everybody is leaning, reclining, so then Echad Bevarach Lekulam. Omar Rav Loshan Ralopat Boy Hasava. When we say that you have to be reclining, but sitting doesn't work, that's only where we're talking about eating bread. But for drinking, people don't necessarily koveya a drinking session in recliners, and because of that, lo boy hasava. As Rabbi Yochanan says, afilu yayin nami boy hasava. Ikri amri. Others say that on the contrary, omar rav lo shanu elapat mahanyale hasava. It's only bread where if you're reclining, echad is mevarech lekulam. Avo yayin lo mahanyale hasava. You do not have a kvias for wine. So there's no such thing as a drinking session, which is so kavua that one should be able to be mevarech for the others. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, in this version, Rabbi Yochanan says that if you did recline, then it helps for wine. So Rabbi Yochanan, mefilu yayin nami, mahanya lehasava. Now we have actually a kasha now on both versions. Meisve. Ketzat seder hasava. So now we're talking about the nusach in the brayos itself is ketzat seder hasuda. How exactly do we organize a classy su'udah. So what they used to do was, orchim nichvasim v'yashvim v'agabe savsalim v'agabe katidraot achi katsukulam. Normally, there were quite a few guests that were invited. So, like, say there were 25 guests, right? So people start coming in. What do people do when they come in? You don't set those people down in the dining room. You set them down in an antechamber where everybody sits and they have drinks and so on. But they only when everyone comes in do they go into the main dining room. So, they bring water to each person, and kol echad v'echad notel yado achat. So, everybody washes one hand. Why do they wash one hand? Because they're going to make a bracha on yayin. This is a machlokas, or many learn that it's a machlokas, anyway, between Rashi and Tosfos, whether there's a chiyuv to wash because of the fact that since yadayim can be metame, any of the shiva mashkin, so because of that, we don't want you to be metame what's in the coast. Tosfos learns that it's not a din like that at all. It's a covet of a bracha kind of thing. Since you're going to be holding the wine, we'll see that there's an inyan of holding in your hand the things that you're being mevarech on. Since you're going to be holding the wine, it's a covet of bracha that hand should be washed. But this has nothing to do with the dinim of tuma, and because of that, it's going to make a difference for the continuation of the brayos where you have to wash both hands later on when it comes time to eat. So everybody makes a bracha on one hand. Then they bring them wine, and everybody is mevarech for himself. Now note that it stresses that we do not have a bracha lekulam, despite the fact that everybody is sitting down. Makes no difference if they're sitting down. Everybody has to make his own separate bracha. So then, after everybody comes in, after all of the people are there, then they go into the main dining room. Everybody gets on their recliners, and then they bring mayim, balei hamayim, and then they have to rewash their hands. So, afa pishkal echad v'echad, natal yado echad, even though everyone had already washed one hand, you have to rewash both hands. Chozer v'notel shtei yadav. Now, that would be a question. Why chozer v'notel shtei yadav? If the first netila was also mitam tuma and so on, so why do you have to go on? So, assuming that this is really what Rashi means, that there's a chiyav because of tuma, so then the assumption is that the reason you would have to wash both hands is because maybe you were, since you had only washed one hand, you weren't careful, you touched the one hand that you had washed with the other hand that you hadn't washed, and because of that, you need to wash both hands. According to Tosfos, it's obvious you didn't wash any hands. I mean, the fact that you put water over your hands is not washing your hands in terms of the tilos yadayim for achila. It's very nice that it's a covet of the bracha to have clean hands, but of course you still have to do a regular tilos yadayim. Now then they bring wine again. Now everybody's reclining, right? And it says here that even though everybody had previously made a bracha for himself, one makes the bracha again on the wine for everybody. Now that means that both versions that we just had of Rav, the Ikedi Amri, and the one before are both wrong. Because if Rav had said you do not need to recline in order to be motzi others yidei chova by yayin, why does it say in the Reisha that when everybody sat down in the antechamber, that over there everyone would have to make a bracha for himself? They're sitting down, so one should be able to be mevarech for whoever is there. Well, that we can answer by saying that this is a unique case, because since over here, by definition, when they come into the antechamber, they're on their way into the main dining room. They're only sitting there until the other guests arrive. So that's not called a kvias. So therefore, even Rav would be made in that case, a Shani Orchim, the Detail Amekai. They're going to be leaving. Now, according to the second Lashon, Rav said that it doesn't even help to be Hasev, then Yai Lomahani Le Haseva. So according to that, we've got a problem now from the Seifa, Kasha Seifa, where it says that even when they're all reclining, one does make a brook for all of them, even on the wine. Answers the Gemara, yes, but that's because why were they reclining? They did the Haseva in order to eat a full meal, so they were going to eat pot. Once they're going to eat a pot, obviously, once the Haseva helps with the pot, okay, next thing we had in the Mishnah is, if you bring Yayin in the middle of the meal, for some reason, everybody has to be Mavarech for himself. That's really weird because, I mean, they are over there. They are gathered together for the meal. That should be the best place for one person to be Mavarech for all, right? Wrong. Because they asked Ben Zoma, what was the reason for this? For Bolema B'tocha Mazon, why is it that Kolecha V'Echa Mavarech L'Atzma? And after the meal, so then Echa Mavarech L'Kula. And he said to them, look, it's very simple. It's because Hove Ein Beit HaBliya Panui. People have got food in their mouths. And because of that, they cannot have somebody making the bracha for them. Now, that's a little bit strange. What does it mean? There's a number of different pshatim. The most interesting pshat is the Ritva's pshat. It says, when you have food in your mouth, you wouldn't be able to drink. And since you wouldn't be able to drink at the time that the person is making the bracha, you can't be yotze the bracha because you can't drink. What a chop. Okay. The other obvious pshat is that we're worried that you'll choke. We never have a situation in which we're going to make somebody, we're going to have a kvias of how we deal with things that could cause somebody to choke, because he's going to have to say amen, even though he's in the middle of swallowing his thing, and therefore it would be us. It would be us because of sakana. Or it could be, the way Rashi understands it, you're not concentrating. You're busy eating the steak. Somebody's in the background making a bracha on the wine. What was he saying? So because of that, you wouldn't really be honest because you weren't mechavin properly. Now, there's a big nafkamina is obviously la halacha, because if it's just a matter of concentrating, so then according to that cheetah, if somebody says, gentlemen, savri, and go ahead and make a bracha, that would be okay. Mashenken, if it's a question of you're choking to death, it really wouldn't matter whether you said savri, thank you very much, when they carry him out, you know, doesn't help. Okay, the next thing that we said is that the last guy who said the bracha on the yayin achar soda, he's the one that gets the right to say the bracha on the mukmar. Now, if it says it that way, isn't it mashma that even though you wouldn't think he had that right, because he's not the most chashuv person, we ought to give it to someone who's more chashuv, that nonetheless, he gets it. And why is that? Well, actually, the Gra takes out the part about va'amai and says that that's wrong, so does the Mashal. And the meaning of it is clear at the end. This is a raya to Rav, who says about a similar thing. The one who got the birkat amaz, mayim achronim, is the one who is supposed to be mezameh the birkat amazon, even though he's not the greatest person. In other words, because once you did one mitzvah, the one mitzvah is mezakeh you with the next mitzvah. And therefore, the same thing would be true over here. Once you did the one mitzvah, the brocha l'yayin, that's mezakeh you with the other mitzvah that is part of the closing of the meal. And once Rav and Rebbe Chiya were sitting in a suda where Rebbe was the balabayit, and Rebbe says to Rav, will you get up and wash your hands? Oh my God, he almost fainted. He thought for sure, oh my, I must have filthy hands or something, or maybe I'm eating too much. So he was shaking. So Rebbe Chiya sees him, that he's trembling. So Rebbe Chiya said to him, excuse me, Bar Pachte, that's what they used to call Rav, was the son of great people. All he's telling you is nothing bad. Believe me, nothing bad. Ayin b'birkat mezona kamalach. He's telling you, get ready to say birkas hamazon, so prepare yourself. That's all he's saying. At what point do you say a bracha on the mugbar? Because you see, the mugbar is a sort of weird kind of thing. Normally, when you make a bracha, you're able to hold the thing that you're making the bracha on, or you're doing something or other that connects you. Say you're in a water fountain, even. So you're pressing down on the water fountain. So you're doing something which is koveya you and that bracha. But in the case of a mugmar, like, when do you really have connection to it? So that's what they were asking. So he answered, Mishitala Timrato, once it starts smoking. So Rabbi Zera said to Rav Bar Yehuda, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't give you any connection to it just because it's smoking. The Halakha Arav, you yourself didn't smell it. So why are you making a bracha? Oh, my way, that's no logic. I mean, the time Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz Mevarech. Let's just say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Is it because you've already eaten or because you're about to eat? Obviously, halo achal. So the point is that because someone is planning on eating, you say the bracha before. Well, that's good enough over here also. You're right. There is no way that you could specifically hold on to it. But on the other hand, you don't have to be netted from it before you make the bracha. The contrary, you make the bracha first. So, hachadami daite l'uruche. Om Rav Chiya b'Rei d'Rabba bar Nachmeni, Om Rav Chisda amar Rav, or some say it was Rav Chisda amar Zeiri. That depends what the mugmar, which is the incense, it depends what it's made of. Now, normally on an incense, where you're burning some type of wood, you make the bracha of borei atzei bisamim, unless it's musk, which was often used for incense. But musk, of course, is an animal product. So chutz mi musk, shemin chayahu, and that's from a musk deer, according to almost everybody. Shemavarchim alav, it's a pheromone. That is produced by this particular kind of deer that apparently turns humans on as well. So you make the general bracha, the borei minei besamim is similar to the shakol nia bidvaro in terms of besamim. Meitve. So the answer of Chisda. Ein mevarchin borei atzei besamim. You do not say borei atzei besamim on normal mugmar, you only say it on the Afar Simon, which is balsam wood that you could find in Rebbe's house, you could find in the Caesar's home. This is extremely expensive wood. You didn't burn it. It had such a powerful smell that you smelled the wood itself. Or, of course, on Hadassim also has this beautiful smell. You don't burn the Hadass. You just pass it around. So over there, since the wood is present at the time that you're smelling it, you say borei atzei besamim. But on all the other cases, you say borei minei besamim because you've already burnt the wood in order to produce the smell. So why would you be mevarach on the wood to yufta? Indeed, Reb Chisda seems to be wrong. Amalei Reb Chisda Reb Yitzchak, what would we do as a bracha on mishcha, the afar simon, on the afar simon oil? So that's like a balsam oil, which comes from the sap of balsam, and it's not the wood itself. So what bracha would you make? So Rabbi Yitzchak said to him, I'll tell you what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said, you say borei shemen artsenu, because this type of very expensive balsam shemen was actually made in Yericho. Some say that's why it was called Yericho, because it was a place of this amazing smell. And so, therefore, you mention Eretz Yisrael on it. So, Rav Chisda said to Rav, would you do me a favor, please?
Maybe I just made this bracha there. I just made this bracha on there. I'd say, so remember, if Kanyevsky Paskin, the way he's growing by Yericho, is the real thing. And I just made this bracha with the Shechian. It was amazing.
We are in Barnea's neighborhood. Thank you, Rav Barnea. It's quite amazing how you happen to be everywhere at every time. I must say, I'm beginning to suspect that there's more than one Barnea. So Rav Chisda said, listen, cut out the Zionism, will you? I know everything Rav Yehuda says is Zionistic. I mean, he's crazy over Eretz Yisrael. So because of that, he made up this bracha of Borei Shemen Artzenu. It's such a bracha. Everything he says is because Eretz Yisrael is Chaviva Allah. But what would normal people say, huh? Whoa, normal people. I'll tell you what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan, borei shemen arev. Kadosh Baruch Hu created these very delicious oils. Omrev adabar ava. Now, the question is, we said that in order to say a borei atzei besamim, we need to have the actual wood, not like having burnt it already. So there are other cases we spoke about. I mean, we don't mean that's the only case. We spoke about Hadassim, and we spoke about the Afar Simon. What about Kisharta? Kisharta is kosher in the besamim of the Keteres. I don't know exactly what it is. Mevorchen aluye borei atzei besamim. But the Mishcha Kavisha, what they do is they would actually take oil. They would put this Kisharta, the Koshet, into it until it absorbed the smell of the Koshet. And the oil itself was not the kosher. So because of that, you can't say borei atzeves samim. Whereas Rav Kahana says, no, even the mishcha kavisha that has the smell of the wood kovush inside it, you can still say it because it absorbed that bracha. Avo mishcha techina, lo. If you ground up the kosher in order to get the smell of it into the oil, that's already not the kosher. I wouldn't be able to tell that it's kosher. It would just be like crumbs. Nardai amri afilu mishcha techina, even if it's ground up, as long as if I filtered it, I'd be able to get it out, the mefarshim say, then it's considered to be there, and maybe I could say a borei atzei b'samim, even though I don't mamish see it right now. Om Rav Gidol Amarav, I simalek. If you're a baby and you want to make a bracha on your simalek, what... that's not what we mean. Sorry. Hi, Similac. Similac, Rashi says, is jasmine. And that's something of a question, because we'll see later on there maybe other ways of referring to jasmine. But anyway, before she bring a riot from it, according to Rashi, means the other thing's definitely not jasmine. That is a great example of a delicious smell in wood. The chilfe of the yam, which is the shibolet nerd, which is translated as spike nerd, but I don't know what that is. Mevorchen eluya borei atzei b'samim, that too is a wood, and you say atzei b'samim. So even though they are not really wood in terms of the eights, in terms of the din of borei pri ha'eitz, which has very specific issues, many of the farshim mechalik of between the category of eights, the way it's defined for the bracha of borei pri ha'eitz, as opposed to how we define eights, which just means this hard thing, and that is okay to say borei atzei b'samim. So it's interesting, the borei pri ha'eitz and borei atzei b'samim may not be referring to the same concept of eights. One is a tree, and one is wood, and those are not necessarily the same. Omer Marzutra Mikra, where do we see that? Because we find that Rachav, he ha'elatamagagav, atitmenem pishtei ha'etz. So that means that we look at pishtan as being a kind of wood, even though they're really stalks that don't have the din of a tree in terms of the bracha. So that means that things that grow on stalks, if it's hard, is considered to be a type of wood. Remesharshia Omer, hai narkom. Narkom is also, if it grows in a ginota, it grows in, it's a machlokas, whether this is a lily of the valley, or whether it's a roses. If it grows in a garden, mevorchen lebore atzei b'samim. If it's growing wild, then we call it bore isve b'samim, because they have softer stems, so they're more like flowers. And if it's flowers, then it's an asev. It's only the ones that you actually work on in your garden that you build a whole big, beautiful bush out of that have very strong woody stems. Omrif Shesha Sigle, which are violets, I must say, Omrivarchan Aluya Bore Isve Besami, for the same reason. It may smell nice, but it's not an eitz, it's an asef. Omar Marzuta, I'm on the Murach Petrogo Bachobusha, somebody who's smelling an esek for its smell, not for eating, or a quince. He says, Boruch Shenatin Shenatant Reach Tov Beperot. Omrev Yudah, Hai Manda Nafik Bimaniz, another beautiful bracha that has to do with Peirot, is if somebody goes out during Nisan when the fruits go into bloom, and he sees these trees, fruit trees that are in bloom, he makes a special bracha, which goes like this. Baruch Shaloh Yisir Ba'olamo Klum, Uvaravo Briot Tovot V'ilanot Tovim Li'itna'ot Behem B'nei Adam. Omer Razutra Bartuvia. So this doesn't mean necessarily, by the way, Nisan. It's whenever the trees are blossoming, obviously. But it means after the time of the blossoming, it's too late to say it if the fruits are already growing. Omrev Zidabartuvi Amarav, Minai Inchim of Orchin ala Reach. How do we know Bichlal, this din, that we're taking for granted that there is such a thing as a Baruch on Reach? Shenemar kol ha-nishama ta'alel ka. Ezo davash ha-nishama ne'net b'vina guvne ne'mimenu. You're talking about only an neshama, joy. That is a reach, perfect for tonight, Mitzvah Shabbos, which is, we smell specifically for the restoration of the neshama. V'yomrev Zutubartu, V'yomrev Atidim Bochurei Yisrael, Shitnu Reach Tov Kalavanon. The Bochurei Yisrael will smell so beautiful, as it says, Yelchu Yon Kotav V'yik Chazayet Odo V'reach Lo Kalavanon. The Omer of Zutra Bartuvia, Omer Rav, my dichtiv, et hakol asa yafa, yafe bi'ito. Everything is beautiful in its time. It means everything has a time and place. A person is always excited and feels at home in the job that is his craft. And that's, to him, it's an amazing thing. And Omer of Papa, that's what people say. They say, you can put the most beautiful meal in front of a piggy. Tala like Korah, and Korah we had before, was the palm shoots, which are very expensive because people don't want to wreck the branch that's going to grow from it. Make it for a pig, give it to him in a beautiful plate, and I guarantee you, iudidei avid, he's still going to do his job on it. And what's his job? Rolling around in the mud. Because it's no fun to eat that food unless it's good and muddy. That's exactly what people do in their jobs. He goes into the garbage because that's what he enjoys. So whatever work you enjoy, it's an amazing thing that to you, other people say, oh my God, how can I, what an awful line of work. And he's very happy with it. When it comes to mazikin, if you're carrying a flashlight, that's like having two people there because mazikim are always attack a yochid. And if you have the moon already is like three people. And over there, you even have less to worry about. So it's not like you're there. Okay, we're going to get later on to the difference between two and three. Toshma. So ask the Gemara, take a look and see if we bring a raya. Yoreach kishlosha. I'm sorry, I skipped the question. So what they asked was, what do you mean? Do you mean that if you're carrying a flashlight, it's like you've got two people, meaning including yourself, or does it mean it's like two other people? Says the Gemara, look at the second part. If it says the moon is like three people, so if you're going to tell me that it means bahadidi day, then it makes sense. But if you're going to tell me that it's like three people besides you, which means that it's four people, we do not have any kind of meaning in halacha vis-a-vis shadim about arba'a lamali. Didn't it say that the difference between one, two, and three is that le'echad nir'eh mazik? He'll show himself and can hurt you. Le'shnayim nir'eh, you may be able to see that shade. It's pretty scary. But it's not going to do you any harm. And it's not mazik. But there's no din of four. So it must mean three, means three, including you. Where the oreach is kishlosha b'hadidi day. Indeed, shma minna. Some say it was Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. La halacha, it is better for a person to throw himself into an actual furnace, and not cause somebody else to be public shamed. How do we know that? We know that from Tamar. Because from Tamar, it says, look, she was about to be burnt up alive, right? And it says, she's getting dragged out to Viserfua, and she sends a message to Yehuda, sending him the simonim that he left by her. But she refused to tell anybody, I'm pregnant because of my father-in-law. She wouldn't say it. She just sent it to him, and she left it up to him. If he wants to say it, he could say it. But I'm certainly not going to embarrass him. Okay, anyway, getting back to our main topic over here. Tanu Rabbanan, Hevi'elefanav Shemen v'Hadas. So priests, they bring oil, and they bring Hadasim. So Beit Shammai Omrim, and again, this was the oil was the end of the meal for cleaning, because you would wash your wipe your fingers with it. And the Hadassim was for the Mugmar. So Beit Shammai says, you first say the bracha on the Shemen, and afterwards you say the bracha on the Hadas. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, Mevorech al Hadas, v'charkach Mevorech al HaShemen. Omar Rebbe Gamliel, okay, I'm going to make the difference over here by adding in my 2 cents, and therefore I'll make it 2 against 1. So Aniach Riyah, if you think about it, when you're talking about this oil, there's 2 things you get out of it. First of all, you get out the delicious smell. And secondly, you also get the value of smearing it on you, of anointing yourself. But when it comes to hadas, all you get out of it is the smell. But you do not get any kind of sikha from it, which means that it's more choshev than the hadassahs. Omer Rabbi Yochanan halacha kedivrei ha-machriya, we go according to the one who is machriya, Rav Gamliel. Rav Papa Ikla Ravuna Berei the Rav Ika, and they brought Shemen Vahadas. Rav Papa takes it, and he makes the bracha on the Hadas first, and then he made the bracha on the Shemen. So Omar Leis Ravuna said to him, what about what Rav Yochanan said? Omar Leis, absolutely not, because Achi Amarova, Halacha Kebet Hillel, when it comes to a question of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, there's no such thing as a machriya. Now, halacha is always like Beit Hillel, and that's what Beit Hillel says. Now, the mice of this last piece does not appear in the Rif, and because of that, many take it out. The words Velohi, that Rav Papa only said this because he was embarrassed that he had made a mistake, and he said that, but it isn't really true. In fact, it is true, and we do pasuk it. Tana Rabbanan. Hevi lifneim shemen v'yayin, Beit Shammai omrim, ochez ha-shemen v'yimino v'tayayin b'smolo. We mentioned before that there needs to be a certain kirva to the brocha. And over here, you're about to make two different brochas. You have the oil and you have the wine that you drink after the meal. So Beit Shammai says, hold the oil in your right hand and hold the wine in your left hand, because you should always have some connection if you're going to be saying the brocha on the shemen first. So then that's Beit Shammai Shita. So that has to be in your right hand. So Ochez, where's Beit Hillel, who says what they already passed before, and he's mevorach al hayayin because he's mevorach al hashemen. After you finish, you got a little bit of that sweet-smelling oil in your hand, rub it on the head of the waiter. If the waiter's a Talmud Chacham, so then rub your hand against the wall. Because you, now, the only way to understand this in the light of the Gemara that's coming up is that it's not an explanation of why you don't put it on the waiter's head if he's a Talmud Chacham. It's an explanation of why you want to get it off of your hand if you're going out into the shuk. Because it's inappropriate for you to go out as a Talmud Chacham as somebody who's wearing perfume. There's six things that are inappropriate for Talmud Chacham. First of all, don't go out wearing perfume. Secondly, don't go out alone at night. Thirdly, don't go out with patches all over your shoes. Furthermore, do not speak with a woman in the marketplace. And furthermore, do not sit there in a cocktail party, or in a, actually means yesev, means in a seuda with Amei Haaretz. And do not be the last one into the Beis HaMedrash. And some say there's another thing. Don't walk with wide strides. And don't walk with your nose up in the air. Bekoma zikufa. So let's go through each one of them. Don't go out into the street with perfume. Om Rebbe Abba Bereidu Reb Chia Barava Om Rebbe Yochanan. This is only in a place where people are always talking about homosexuals. So they're going to say, why is he going out wearing perfume? Om Rav Shesha, Slo Amran, Elabit Bigdo. Furthermore, that's only if he's wearing this on his clothes, because then it really makes a lot of smell all over. Elva Begufo, for somebody to wear deodorant, there's no chash, people are not choshish people of wearing deodorant for sexual attraction. They're wearing deodorant not to stink. Om Rav Papa, Visaro, Kibigdo. I mean, putting this smell, a perfume or a cologne on your hair is the same as putting on as a baguette. It makes too much smell, and it's not something that generally would need to be, you would need to cover a smell. Some say that hair is the same as your body, and there is a reason to put it, get rid of the smell of sweat. Don't go out alone at night, because it looks like you may be heading towards a whore or something. Mishum b'chshada. Boy, these people had dirty minds, huh? But this is only if, lo kavilei idna, it's only if you don't have a time to learn with your chavrusa at that time, or with your Rebbe at that time. Lo kavilei idna, if that's the time that you always go out to learn, media dia de la idne ka'aza, people know that you are going out to your learning. So you think the dirty minds are a modern phenomena, you have to be chayshish for dirty minds even at the time of the Gemara. V'al yetze bin menalim netulaim, Don't go out with patches on your shoes, Mesela Rabbi Bar Ava. Rabbi Bar Ava said it's a gnai, it's very low class that a Talmid Chacham should be seen wearing shoes with holes all over. Is that true? Rabbi Bar Ava actually himself went out wearing those kind of shoes. So how could he have said it's a gnai? Omer Mazutra B'Rebbe Nachman. It's only a problem if it's heavily patched. I mean, you got one patch on top of another patch, and even when that patch gets a hole, you put another patch on it. And furthermore, it's only if it's on the top part of the shoe where it's visible. If it's on the sole of the shoe, then it's not a problem. And even when it's the top of the shoe, that's only when you're walking on the actual road. If you're inside your home, you don't have to wear any. It doesn't matter what kind of old slippers you're wearing. And furthermore, this is only if it's not the rainy season. If it's the rainy season, where anyway everything is covered by mud, it's not a problem. And then the other thing we said is he shouldn't be speaking with women outside. That's even if it's his own wife. And it says this in a braisa, afilo yishto, or if it's your daughter or your sister. People don't know who she is. And as we said before, people have dirty minds and they're going to think all kinds of things. Do not be in a group of people that are eating together where they're Amei Aretz. Why is this? Dilma Atilim Shuche Batrayo. It's very inappropriate for a Talmid Chacham to get involved in conversations and to act like them and to be around them. Even just to go in and to share a drink is inappropriate. Ayi Kanes Achrona LeBeit HaMidrash. Do not be the last one into the Daf Yomi. Why is that? Because people call him a lazy bones. Kari Le Poshea. He's an Atzlan. Some say he shouldn't walk with these wide strides. That's because we have a Kabbalah that a psia gasa lo tel adachel b'chamesh b'ol morayin af shal adam. And every time you walk a long stride, it takes away 1/500th of your eyesight. My takante, is there anything you could do for that? Yes, indeed. You can drink the kiddush on Friday night, and that gives your eyesight back. And then the last thing is, do not walk with your nose up in the air. The Omar Mara Mahalak Bekuma Zekufa Filu Arba Amais. Somebody who walks like that, looking like he's on top of the world, even if it's only for 4 Amais. Kilo Doichek Ragli Hashchina. It's as if he's pushing away the Shechina's feet, Kaviyoko. Dechtiv Molo Chola Oretz Kivodo. And it's not all about you. As the Rambam says, a person should be walking in the way that he's, as if he was davening. He should be walking, looking down a little bit, and not seeming to be haughty. Okay, gentlemen, very good. I wish you a wonderful Shavua Tov u'mevorach. Okay, Kol Tov. Thank you so much for coming. Shavua Tov.